Get free shots for your cat or dog Saturday, November 6th at Tangipahoa Parish Animal Services and Saturday, November 20th at Florida Parish's Arena, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. both days. Rabies, distemper, parvo, FBRCP, all free of charge. For questions, call 985-543-0215.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent, in theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent, in theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent, in theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent, in theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
Over the last couple of summers, to the untrained eye, the soybean fields that stretch across our country must have looked like they've always looked, green and peaceful. But to a soybean farmer, something big happened. For decades, dicamba-based weed control systems were the standard. But more quickly than anyone expected, that changed. There are now tens of millions of acres planted with the Enlist weed control system. Why? Near zero volatility for one, reduced potential for drift for another. But the most important reason is the soybean itself. Pioneer brand Enlist E3 soybeans have a proven yield advantage over the competition, and of course, work perfectly with the Enlist weed control system. The momentum is shifting to Pioneer brand Enlist E3 soybeans. To see if it's time for you to reconsider what you're planting, contact your local Pioneer sales representative, and always read and follow label directions.
Get free shots for your cat or dog Saturday, November 6th at Tangipahoa Parish Animal Services and Saturday, November 20th at Florida Parish's Arena, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. both days. Rabies, distemper, parvo, FBRCP, all free of charge. For questions, call 985-543-0215.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Sonia Greenfield. Sonia is the Director of Writer Management and Editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. It's a cool website dedicated to covering the NFL from a woman's point of view, and she's also a feature writer for ETGSports.com. On the program, we discuss the Lions game against the Rams. Also, we discuss Jared Goff and so much more. Sonia is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
I'm Dan Marino. You know there's nothing more important to me than family and my community. That's why I've teamed up with Infinity Empowering on Operation Expanded Testing, a federally funded program that provides free ongoing COVID-19 testing for our local schools and community organizations. Regular testing can help reduce positivity rates to less than 1%, which means safer schools that stay open, so all of us can get back to normal.
Call 1-844-631-0469 or visit affinitytesting.com.
The people of ServiceNow live to workflow problems, and no problem is too big to workflow. Governments that need streamlining? Let's workflow it. A Veterans Administration that needs modernizing? Let's workflow that. Students in need of in-person learning? Yep, let's workflow that too. No matter what monumental challenges you're facing, digital workflows can help you take them on. And now, ServiceNow is helping the medical community take on the greatest workflow challenge of our time, the challenge of turning vaccines into vaccinations. Thankfully, it's a challenge they're rising to. Today, with the help of ServiceNow digital workflows, healthcare providers are administering vaccinations safely and efficiently. They're streamlining the process and making getting a shot, well, simple. Learn how digital workflows are helping our healthcare heroes get vaccine off the shelves and into the arms of the patients who need them. Visit servicenow.com/vaccine to find out more about their vaccine management system. And whatever your business is facing, let's workflow it.
Get free shots for your cat or dog Saturday, November 6th at Tangipahoa Parish Animal Services and Saturday, November 20th at Florida Parish's Arena, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. both days. Rabies, distemper, parvo, FBRCP, all free of charge. For questions, call 985-543-0215.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town.
He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town.
He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town.
He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town.
He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town.
He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
On the Regulatory Transparency Project's Fourth Branch podcast, leading experts from across the political spectrum debate the pros and cons of regulatory policy.
While this law is intended at improving privacy, there are some questions of does it actually improve privacy and what does it do to data security?
This is an unacceptable overreach that is hurting people who need access to housing the most right now.
Subscribe to RTP's Fourth Branch podcast on any major podcast platform and check out our website at regproject.org.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town.
He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
Jumpstart the season with big holiday savings from JCPenney, now through Sunday. Let the fun begin with Disney toys, now up to 25% off. Or give your family the warm fuzzies with 40% off outerwear. Don't forget to use your coupon to save an extra 25% on select items at checkout. The holidays are officially here at JCPenney. Offers valid on select items through 10/31. Toys excluded from coupon. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, standard the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up. Download the DraftKings app and use code TUNEIN. That's code TUNEIN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, standard the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up. Download the DraftKings app and use code TUNEIN. That's code TUNEIN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Get free shots for your cat or dog Saturday, November 6th at Tangipahoa Parish Animal Services and Saturday, November 20th at Florida Parish's Arena, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. both days. Rabies, distemper, parvo, FBRCP, all free of charge. For questions, call 985-543-0215.
Do you love hearing stories about your friend's dating life? Or maybe you're the one sharing ridiculous dating encounters. If you fit either of these scenarios, then you need to check out You Up podcast from Betches Media. Hey, I'm Jared Free.
And I'm Jordana Abraham, and we're the hosts of You Up podcast. We're here to share the funniest dating stories from listeners just like you. From awkward first dates to awkward sexual encounters, we're here to guide you through it all.
You can listen to You Up podcast from Betches Media on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town.
He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
Get free shots for your cat or dog Saturday, November 6th at Tangipahoa Parish Animal Services and Saturday, November 20th at Florida Parish's Arena, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. both days. Rabies, distemper, parvo, FBRCP, all free of charge. For questions, call 985-543-0215.
Good job of that. Mission accomplished on that play. Brings up a third down and 9.
Lots of pressure at the bottom of the screen here.
Here it comes. They're bringing the heat. They set it up for Swift, and Swift with a blocker in front. Looking for the six. He's got more than a first down. And DeAndre Swift down the middle of the field. Blockers in front. He's going to take it all the way for the touchdown. Jonah Jackson leading the way and marching him in for 6 from 63.
You're going to hear this
announced. I love our guys, and I think that's, like, the number one thing is our coaches and our guys in that locker room. I don't care what you guys say about the roster. We got dudes who fight, and that's all I can really ask for. And I love these guys, and we're going to keep fighting until the end, and you guys have seen it week after week. We fight, we battle, we play to the best of our ability, and unfortunately it hasn't been enough. We need to do things to fix it, but there's always pressure, and you know that margin for error that he talks about is just that's where we're at, and that's what we're tasked with. But I wouldn't do it with anyone else other than in that locker room.
We just made one too many mistakes.
Dan, the decision just to be aggressive all day long, and onside kick, two big punts, to still not be enough.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, you know. But we wanted to, you know, we knew that we felt like we could gain an advantage there and see if we could get some possessions back. And, you know, and they helped, but it wasn't enough, you know. It wasn't enough. It's too good of a football team to make. You're not allowed to make one or two errors against a football team like that. So, you know, that's what's tough is you get in those type of games against them. You know, comes down to, you know, us trying to make a play in the pass game there towards the end to get in the end zone. And, you know, Aaron Donald, man, you know, we did a pretty good job for most of the day. And then, you know, he gets us on one, and there you go.
Is that what that was on that play, Donald? I mean, couldn't get
any. No, well, from what I could see, he's under duress. Like, you can't. I mean, good luck. So, now, I watched the tape. I could be wrong, but I felt like he was under duress, not able to throw that football like we needed him to. You know, Ramsey made a hell of a play, too. But, you know, it's just you can go a whole game, and all of a sudden, man, something like that happens, and it's too much. It's too good of a football team.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League, Fox Sports, and the Detroit Lions. And, man, mixed emotions with a good highlight was Lions quarterback Jared Goff throwing a 63-yard touchdown pass to running back DeAndre Swift. Unfortunately, the Lions lose another one, losing to the Los Angeles Rams in Week 7. And then Jared Goff says in a press conference after the game, he still loves his guys. He says they're tough and they can still make things happen. And Lions head coach, you heard it in his voice, Dan Campbell, he gave his thoughts and said that the Rams were just too good. And Aaron Donald, and they just had some great playmakers on that team. So to talk more about this game as well as the Lions' next game, we want to welcome her back to the program. She is the director of writer management and the editor and also a reporter covering the NFC North and the NFC East for Our Turf Football, which is a cool website dedicated to women covering the National Football League. And she's also a feature writer at E2GSports.com. Let's welcome her back to the program, Sonya Greenfield. Sonya, welcome back.
Thank you, Ed. Always glad to be back. Glad to talk with you, and always glad to talk Lions.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So, Sonya, the Detroit Lions remain the only winless team in the National Football League. Give me your takeaways from what you got with the Lions game against the Rams.
The Lions games with the Rams was actually – okay, so we knew that they weren't going to win, right? You knew that most likely they weren't going to win. I mean, they could have shocked the world, and I think they did. I think they came out, they had plenty of energy. I mean, they opened up the playbook and threw you know, trick play after sneak play after surprise play. And, you know, and that's kind of what you got to do when you're an underdog, you know, just, you know, bet the house, right? Because you're probably not going to win, but let's just see if we can catch them off guard. And so that was good to see, especially after the week before when, you know, they just looked so lifeless against the Bengals, and you're like, man, they're going to get crushed by the Rams. But so it was nice to see that little spark of energy and, you know, just the trick plays and just, you know, that was so nice to see. But unfortunately, we came down to earth and, you know, the Rams were, quoting Denny Green, or, you know, paraphrasing Denny Green, the Rams were who we thought we were, thought they were. And, you know, they came out and they just had a better game. So, yeah, so it was nice to see, and you like to see that spark and that energy, but, you know, it's a long road. It's been a long road so far.
Yeah, it has been a long road for the Lions. And speaking of a long road, the last time you were on the program, we talked about the trade with Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford. We're going to talk more about Jared in a little bit later, but I want to stay focused on the Lions' loss to Week 7 in the Week 7 game against the L.A. Rams. I want to start with the offense for a moment for Detroit. Running game, they've been trying to find their way. Detroit's been trying to find their way with the running game this year. They've done this combination with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. Of course, Jamal Williams played for the NFC North rival Green Bay Packers. And then DeAndre Swift, who's been with the Lions for maybe several years now. This seems like it's a running tandem where Jamal Williams is like the power back and DeAndre Swift is more of like the combo, the running and receiving type back. Give me your thoughts on Jamal and DeAndre and their performance in this game against the Rams.
Well, I think they overall performed well. I think they performed to their abilities. But again, it was just kind of too much. But I did love, you know, the 63-yard run that you led off with. That was amazing. And I like how they're, you know, what's the word? Synergizing each other in a way, kind of, I think. And honestly, I think this is probably the best that the run game has looked in a while. Granted, we haven't had, you know, the type of success that we want to have because we haven't had, you know, our 100-yard rusher yet in a long time. And, you know, that's been few and far between. But I think that, you know, just pounding the ball, getting the rock, you know, DeAndre being able to be creative and get out there and do some stuff, I think has been helpful to the offense. And I think that that's kind of what we're seeing. I mean, this offense is kind of gelling and we got new pieces and the line is coming together. So, you know, relying on the run game when you really don't have a lot of receivers to, you know, do the job, I think kind of helps and it just gets them out there more. And, you know, they look pretty good, I think, you know, at least last week they did. And so that gives you a little bit of, okay, maybe we aren't as dead in the water as we thought, and if we're able to, you know, really rely on these guys to help our offense, I think that, you know, at least we're looking up in that direction. So at least having a little bit of momentum, if you will, I think.
Okay, fair enough. And let's move along now to the receiving side. The leading receiver for the Lions in this game against the Rams was Khalif Raymond. He had 6 catches for 115 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Khalif and his performance in this game.
You know, I think he was okay. I think he was able to get separation, and he's starting to get more on the same page with Jared. And, you know, I think they're working together well. The receiving core is kind of up for grabs, and so it's kind of nice to see him just kind of start getting out there and starting to take the reins and, you know, really making something happen on the receiving end of our offense. Because that, honestly, you know, where usually it had been, you know, we've had Calvin Johnson, we've had Marvin Jones, we've had Kenny Galloway. And so, you know, really just having that as a luxury. And now, you know, just going to him, it's been a little bit rough, but I think that he's starting to come around, and he and Jared are starting to develop that relationship. So I think that he's starting to show a little bit more, you know, that he's beginning to work a little bit.
I want to stay with the receiving side for a moment. We mentioned Khalif, yeah, but also T.J. Hockenson. He had 6 catches for 48 yards in this game. That's a little unusual because T.J. has really been a focal point in the offense for the Lions the last 2 seasons. Just give me your thoughts on T.J., and do you think they could have used him a little bit more to give the Lions a greater chance to win this game?
I think so, and I think that, you know, with Dan Campbell being a tight end guy, you kind of would like to think that he would use TJ a little bit more in this offense, and I think that he could be used, obviously, a little bit more to kind of help out that receiving core, and so, you know, maybe they were game planning that they were going to use him more as a receiver in this offense, you know, from the Rams' end, that they were game planning more for Hock, but I think going to him consistently, I think, is always going to be the right choice. And, you know, it was a little bit disappointing to see that they weren't using him as much in this game. But, again, you know, they were keeping him on their toes with some of these trick plays early. So I think that that's kind of why, you know, you didn't see a lot of him this game. But, you know, I do like him being in the offense. I do like a good receiving tight end. So I think that, you know, bringing him more into the offense is going to only help. And, you know, while we're trying to develop the offense a little bit more, I think bringing him in, just because he's been such a staple the past couple of years, I think is always going to be the right choice.
All right. I want to move along now to the defensive side for a moment. And one of the leading tacklers on the Detroit defense was Alex Anzalone. He had 5 tackles in this game. And Anzalone had some pretty good seasons during his time with the New Orleans Saints. And now he's in Detroit as one of the linebackers. Just give me your thoughts on Alex's performance in his game against the Rams.
And the Rams, I think he, you know, he started off good. I think he, you know, is trying, and one of the more looked at linebackers in this defense. And so I think that in this game he played well, he played decent, and stepped it up a little bit. But I think in the end, you know, the Rams just became a little bit too much for him. Their offensive line is pretty good, although, you know, he wouldn't really necessarily be that. But I think that, you know, his tackling was decent enough. But in the end, like I said, just he couldn't contain their offense because the Rams are just so explosive, and it's just hard to kind of keep them in check. But he did what he could.
All right, and I want to bring up the other 2 leading tacklers in this game. There was a Jalen Reeves-Maben and also Jerry Jacobs. They both had 5 tackles as well. Just kind of give me your thoughts on how well Jalen and Jerry's performance in this game.
Jeremy. Yeah, I like to call him Jeremy Jair. I know, sorry.
It's okay.
But no, sorry about that. I'm a goof, I know. But no, overall, I think he's been one of the more consistent ones in our defense. And so, again, he had a pretty decent game, against the Rams. But, again, the Rams are the Rams, and you can only do what you can. And so I think that he still is one of our stronger defensive players. And so I liked what I saw. But, again, you know, the Rams are going to be the Rams. I hate to keep deferring to that. It's just kind of how I felt about this team. And, you know, I loved the effort, at least in the beginning and the first half, you know. But, like I said, the Rams are just the Rams. So you know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of the Rams being of the Rams, we know the Rams particularly they're an aggressive team both on the offensive and the defensive side. And Coach Dan Campbell in his press conference mentioned Aaron Donald. And you got to have an offensive line to go up against this very good Rams defense. I want to bring up Penei Sewell for a moment. I know he had a little incident that had taken place during that game against the Rams. Just give me your thoughts on Penei and how well he's played, not only in this game against the Rams, but how would you rate him overall this year?
You know, overall, I think that he's actually going to fit in pretty well. We've had to move him around a little bit, so I think that that's probably been a slight disadvantage. But, you know, just looking at when, you know, he's been in the game and just some of the things that he's able to do as a rookie, it's a lot that's being asked of him. I get it. But he's made some pretty decent plays. He's, you know, really stood up to some of the bigger line, bigger defensive linemen in some of these games, especially in a couple of the earlier games. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but in a couple of the earlier games this year, I've seen some pretty good work out of him. And I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit surprised when we drafted him because I was like, you know, our line is pretty good. And, you know, I think that there are other needs. And while I get building in the trenches, I was kind of surprised. So, you know, and everybody's like, oh, no, but he's going to be good. He's future Hall of Fame. And I'm like, you know what we do to future Hall of Famers. But actually watching him develop and, you know, be a pretty decent part of the offensive line, I think, right now. It's been kind of fun to watch, and I think that he is going to continue to develop. I hope that he continues to develop. I think if our offensive line comes together, it's going to be probably one of the better ones in football as they get older and as they, you know, work together more. So probably not this year, but hopefully in the next couple of years. And I think that he's going to be a big part of it. I think him, Frank Ragnow, I think those two are going to be a really big part of that offensive line coming up.
I want to ask you, let's stay with the offensive line for a moment. You mentioned Frank Ragnow, who is like the high – I mean, if you could correct me if I'm wrong, he's like the highest paid center in the league. Do you think the Lions would be winless if Frank Ragnow was healthy and you had Frank and Panay on the offensive line? Do you think things would be a little bit different?
I don't think they would. I think that while he is an integral part of that offensive line, I think there's also just a lot more issues that they need to overcome. And, you know, I think back to the Ravens game when, you know, they had them fourth and forever, and they converted that, the Ravens converted that fourth down. You know, the offensive line was nowhere near that play. So, I mean, I think that defensively, they probably could have done a little bit better in that game. But, you know, I think of stuff like that when it comes to some being winless. And so I think of just the little things, mostly on but I think just some of the little things. Could the offensive line be a part of that? Probably. But I think more so it's bigger than just those two guys on the offensive line.
All right, and, you know, speaking of being bigger, the quarterback position is about as big as it gets in the National Football League. It's the most important position in the league. And the last time you were on the show, Sonia, we talked about the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff trade. Well, the Jared Goff era is official in Detroit, and they're winless. And, you know, he's had his moments, but it hasn't translated into wins yet. This is a two-part question. First question is this. Give me your thoughts on his performance in the game against the Rams, and just give me your take on how well he's on how he's performed so far this year.
All right. So against the Rams, I'm going to give him a C+. And I'm sorry to do another analogy, but this is kind of how I feel. For instance, so I'm going to put it in a girl's frame of mind, right? So when you see your ex, right, you want to make sure that you're looking good, and you are. But at the same time, you know, you're going to put on the good stuff. Yeah, that's what you do. You look good, right? And then, you know, by the end of the night, it's something totally different. But, you know, and that's kind of how I think it started. They, you know, he looked great. He's like, yeah, I want to show what I got and, you know, what they left me or, you know, what traded me for. And so I feel that that was kind of his energy there. Could I be wrong? Probably. But I think that that was kind of the energy. Overall, though, he's been a little lackluster. And I think that I don't know if it's just the fact that he's kind of in an offense that they're just kind of trying to figure out and just develop it a little bit more. And, you know, we knew that he wasn't going to be the guy, but we also didn't think that we were going to be this disjointed. You know what I'm saying? Again, I go back to the Bengals game when you know, it's fourth down and he throws the ball away. It's like, what are you thinking? You know, like that type of stuff. Now, sometimes, and, you know, it just, the Lions are just snake bit. And sometimes things like that just happen, right? But I think there's some kind of disconnect, and I don't think he's that same quarterback that was in LA. And like I said, I knew he wasn't the guy to get us over the top and, you know, take us to the next level. But I do expect a little bit better performance. I expected a little bit better of a performance. I didn't think they would be winless this far into the season. I thought that they would at least, you know, have at least a couple because, you know, Jared Goff is talented. You have to be talented to be a quarterback in the National Football League, correct?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, as I said earlier, it's the most important position in the league.
Right.
I mean, it's the most important position. It's the most scrutinized position in the league. So, as they said, with the victors comes the spoils. So, and with the
right.
with the bad play comes criticism. So, there you go.
Right.
But,
the head that wears the crown. Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to stay with Jared for a moment. And I know Jared is a California guy. He went to school in California, graduated from college in California, played for a California team. When the Rams went back to L.A. from St. Louis, he was in California his whole life. And then all of a sudden you get traded and they have to adjust to life in the Midwest. Do you think from a cultural standpoint, that's having a little bit of an impact on him, going from being a California guy to coming into the Midwest and having to adjust to blue-collar Detroit?
That could be it. Not the only thing that's it, but that's part of it, right? You know, you got to take that into consideration. He's coming from a nice, warm environment. He's coming to, you know, a cooler, temperate environment. The fans here are a little bit more hard-nosed, a little bit more blue-collar than, you know, the Rams fans. And not that Rams fans aren't good, but Detroit fans are just a different breed. We, you know, if we see, though, that he is working hard and that he is really trying, we're going to love you and embrace you. But the second that it seems like we're not getting that energy from you, that's when we're going to, you know, kind of put you aside. And so I think that right now he's still giving us that energy that, you know, yeah, he wants to be here and we want to see that. But the second that starts to kind of fall off, that's when the Lions fans will get a little bit, you know, a little bit antsy. And it can be a culture shock. And I think that, you know, sometimes it's not fun. It's dark. It's dreary. And it's been dreary for the past week, you know, not a lot of sun, lots of rain. And that can kind of weigh on you as well. So, you know, we're learning about seasonal affective and stuff like that. So hopefully that's not it. But being in the Midwest is a lot different than being, you know, in California, except for the fact that our earth tends to stay still. We don't have a lot of earthquakes.
right. Exactly. That much is true right there. So while we have Jared Goff adjusting to things as the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, I want to talk about a gentleman that had a very unique press conference when they introduced him as the head coach, and that's Dan Campbell. He mentioned about doing some very interesting things like biting ankles and whatnot, and his team is winless right now. How do you biting kneecaps? There you go. And a very unique press conference that he had given. And I want to ask you, Sonia, Dan Campbell is winless so far as an NFL head coach. Just give me your thoughts on how he's done and what do you think he needs to do to improve going forward.
So, you know, everybody, and maybe I'm just a little bit more jaded than people are, but, you know, people really love that energy and they love, you know, that toughness in the press conference. And they're like, yeah, I'd run through walls for him. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I love it. But let's see what happens during the season. You know, that's always been my feel is let's see what happens during the season, because, you know, you can talk all this and say all these wonderful things. You're going to bite kneecaps. We're raising them tough. I'm not wiping anybody's butts. You know, I'm embracing Detroit. I'm wearing the race helmet, you know, to my press conference in honor of the Detroit Grand Prix, which is all stuff that we love. We love to see coaches, you know, embracing being in Detroit, players embracing being in Detroit. But you're a football coach. I want to see what happens on the field. And right now, it's not getting done. And so it's always going to be tough for a first-time head coach. It always is. But sometimes when you're here in Detroit, there's another level. Like I said, I don't know if we're snake bit or what, but there's just something else in about being in Detroit. Do I think he's a good coach? I think right now, yes, I think he is kind of a good coach. I think that, you know, he's trying to figure out what needs to get done and how can this team win. And I feel that he's still working. And I think that, you know, he's trying. He's trying. And the locker room is not giving up on him. And I think, you know, clear evidence was the Rams game. You know, they went out and they did a great job. They did a very good job, you know, in the first half for him. And I think that that shows that, you know, there's something there. You know, that the team is buying in, the team wants to win. And, you know, he's got a great band of coaches, too. So I think that the talent is there, the coaching is there. It's just the execution. And who is that on? That part kind of falls to the players. But calling game plans and stuff like that, I think he's okay. I think we're okay right now. But I just hopefully he will win, and hopefully he'll win soon. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, it's always growing pains, not just for new players, but new head coaches in the NFL, and it's definitely not a walk in the park. You just got to be built different to be a head coach in the NFL, dealing with players and the distractions. And like you mentioned, playing in the city of Detroit, a city that's very passionate about a lot of things, and their sports franchises are no exception to the rule. And for a franchise
exactly.
Like the Lions, you have to be built for it tough, no pun intended, the automotive industry. Yeah. Shout out to the automotive industry right there. So now, speaking of being built for tough, the Detroit Lions, their next game in Week 8 is going to be a team that they're going to be going up against a team that they play for, a city that's known for their toughness, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles have gone through their growing pains this year, questions about their head coach, Nick Sirianni, questions about their quarterback Jalen Hurts, and the defense, mm-hmm. all sorts of injuries with them. So, Sonia, I've got to ask you, what must Detroit's offense do to get points against the beat-up Eagle defense?
Throw the ball. Throw the ball. I think their secondary is kind of hurting a little bit. So I think if, you know, the Lions can get out there and start throwing the ball around and, you know, keep that same energy with some trick plays and, you know, things like that, I think that's probably going to be the best way to get some points against this Philadelphia team, which is pretty beat up, like you said. But also they still have some talent. You know, I think that Jalen Hurts is pretty – He's growing. This is his first complete year starting. I think I got that right. But, yeah, it's going to just take some time. But I think that the Lions have the experience. But, again, just throw the ball, throw it to that weak secondary, and, you know, get those receivers out there. I think that will give us a decent chance to win.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the ball in Philly's offense. You mentioned him, Jalen Hurts, and again, the running back Miles Sanders suffered an injury. It's highly unlikely he's going to play in this game. And what must Detroit's defense do to neutralize Philly's offense?
I think if they're able to kind of get after Jalen, I think if they're able to get after Jalen Hurts, and kind of disrupt his flow, I think that's going to probably be a pretty big key to this game, because I think we've seen that once you kind of start getting him shaken, that, you know, it's kind of hard to get him back, if you will. So I think that if they go after Jalen, I think that's probably going to be the biggest to the Lions defense and offense, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Jalen's
absolutely.
Not scoring any points, and the Lions have, and there you go.
All right. Well, you know, the Lions, this is going to be a home game for the Lions as they square off against the Eagles in Week 8. And Detroit is not just known for its sports, but it's also known for its music, and Motown being the sound of young America. And an artist on Motown was an artist by the name of Junior Walker and the All-Stars. And they had he had a song out back in the day called What Is It Gonna Take to Win Your Love? So I want to know, Sonya, yeah, what else is it going to take for the Lions to get their first victory against the Eagles on Sunday?
It's going to take the crowd. It's going to take the crowd and the fans to get in there and get fired up, make it a nice, loud environment. I know that, you know, the Philly fans are great, and they, you know, they're some tough fans, and they are kind of like us, really hard-nosed fans, and, you know, they expect their players to go to work. But we're in a dome. And we can, you know, really make it loud. We can, once the team is fired up and once the crowd is fired up, it's yeah, we make a wonderful 12th man. No disrespect to the Seattle Seahawks and their fans, but we can make it loud and we can make, you know, some disruptions for that Philadelphia offense. And, you know, lots of false starts. We love those.
Indeed.
Lots
so I have to, uh-huh. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I think that's probably it. You know, just bringing the energy. It's the defense. And the defense, honestly, hasn't been awful this year. But I know I kind of talked a little bit about that against the Ravens. But they haven't been, like, terribly awful, but serviceable. And I think that if you get them kind of going downhill and get them fired up early, and, you know, I think that that can kind of help get after the Eagles as well and get after Jalen.
So, Sonya, if the Lions win their first game against the Eagles on Sunday, would you? Will everybody get free conies?
That's a good question. I don't know. I hope they do get free conies, at least the ones that were there. And they can take their ticket stubs to either American or Lafayette and then get their conies. Yeah, that would be great.
All right, solid. And you heard it from her. She is Sonya Greenfield. She's the director of our writer management, and she's also the editor and a reporter covering the NFC North and the NFC East at Our Turf Football. So, again, thank you for being on the program. So tell everybody what you do. Describe a little bit more what you do at Our Turf Football.
Oh, cool, yeah. So it's four of us at Our Turf, and we have occasional guest writers, but we really just cover the league. We have a podcast, a weekly podcast. You can sign up for that on YouTube, and if you search Our Turf Football, and you can subscribe and get weekly updates for our podcast that we do. It's a video one, so you get to see all our pretty faces. But we talk, you know, we talk sports. We talk fantasy football. We talk, you know, we talk, obviously, you know, football. We talk all the divisions. We usually talk a lot about the Dolphins. We talk about we talk football. We just love it. So we talk about anything. You know, who's the biggest surprise, all that good stuff. And then also the cool thing about the podcast is that you can interact with us, and so we can read your comments on screen. So that's always fun. But yeah, so we cover the divisions, and you know, we have rivalries, and we just have a good time.
Awesome. It sounds great. And then also you write from time to time on a website called e2gsports.com. Just tell everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, so E2G Sports covers all sports, really. And every now and then I get tapped on the shoulder by my friend T. Murph on Twitter, Thomas Murphy. And, you know, he's like, hey, can you give me a couple sentences about this? So, yeah, you know, I'll put on – you know, put out a couple words about anything, really. The last time I wrote was about Simone Biles. So I like to talk any sports. So, yeah, so that's kind of what I do for ETG.
Awesome, awesome. And, again, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Our Turf Football, E2G Sports, and also any other websites that you want to pump. Let them know that as well.
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter at Mom, the number 2, the number 3, RN. You can find Our Turf at OURTURFFB on Twitter. And then, like I said, our YouTube page is Our Turf Football, and just look that up, and you can subscribe to that. E2G Sports, and that is on their Twitter, at E2G Sports. Let's see, what else? You can find me on Instagram, so you can see pics of my family if you'd like. And that's Sonja920, S-O-N-J-A, 920. Yeah, so also I forgot to mention Our Turf is partnering with the college Gridiron All-Stars. And so we're trying to get, you know, players from smaller schools, you know, D2 and down. Also, we cover D1 too, but, you know, getting them seen on a national level and hopefully helping them get to the league as well. So we do talk a little bit of college sports as well, college football at least. So, yeah, so those are some of the things and places that you can find us.
Awesome. And you heard it from her. She is Sonja Greenfield. She is the director of writer management and also an editor and a reporter covering the NFC North and NFC East at Our Turf Football, and also a feature writer at E2GSports.com. Check out her on the various social media platforms as well as Our Turf Football. Sonja, again, thank you so much for being on the program. If ever
thank
you want to come
so
back
much,
on.
Ed.
You're welcome. You're welcome. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk again.
Oh, same here. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mission accomplished on that one. Brings up a third down and nine. Less the pressure at the bottom of the screen here. Here it comes. They're bringing the heat. They set it up for Swift, and Swift with a blocker in front. Looking for the sticks. He's got more than a first down. And DeAndre Swift down the middle of the field. Blockers in front. He's going to take it all the way for the touchdown. Jonah Jackson leading.
Get free shots for your cat or dog Saturday, November 6th at Tangipahoa Parish Animal Services and Saturday, November 20th at Florida Parish's Arena, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. both days. Rabies, distemper, parvo, FBRCP, all free of charge. For questions, call 985-543-0215.
For 40 years, Michael Myers has haunted this town. He is the essence of evil, and evil dies tonight.
Halloween Kills, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent, in theaters and streaming only on Peacock now.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Sonja Greenfield. She's the Director of Writer Management and an editor covering the NFC North and NFC East for Our Turf Football. And Our Turf Football is a great website covering the NFL from a woman's point of view. So make sure you check out the website. Check them out at www.ourturffb.com. Sonja and the rest of the ladies have great stories, so please check them out. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.